becoming teachable. Our job is not to determine life's meaning, but to discern its meaning. Often we try to tell life what it means, when we would be better off allowing life to show us what it means. When Jesus said we should be as little children, it was because little children know that they don't know. We go around thinking, or at least pretending, we know the meaning of things, when in fact the mortal mind has no basis for real knowing. Little children expect someone older and wiser to explain things to them. We can have the same relationship with God. There's a way of relaxing into our center, working much less hard, letting other people have their say, knowing our being is even more radiant at times when we're in a space of not doing. When the ego steps back, the power of God can step forward. He can and will when we allow Him to. Too often we feel we're invisible unless we're making the cool comment, doing this or doing that, but we're so much more powerful when surrounded by silence. Taking a deep breath, knowing that what you don't say can be as powerful as what you do say, thinking deeply about something before making a response. Such actions leave room for the Spirit to flow, to harmonize your circumstances, and move them in a more powerful direction. How many times have we felt we've blown it, simply by talking when we wish we hadn't, or showing off when we could have just sat there and seemed intriguing, because we were? God's Spirit will always reveal the truth to us if we simply don't block His guidance. And we block it by talking first, talking too much, attitudinally walking ahead of truth. This happens when we push too hard in a conversation or a project, trying frantically to make things happen or keep them from happening because we lack faith in an invisible order of things. That is why the holy instant matters. It is a moment of quiet when the Spirit enters and makes all things right. Often it's better to live in a question until the answer emerges, to be okay with not knowing until wisdom comes, to take a back seat and just listen until you genuinely have something to say. Sometimes it's our silence that testifies to our strength. Our entire being, intellectual, emotional, psychological, and spiritual, can relax into a more miracle-receptive mode. When we relax, the mind opens to greater insight and the heart to deeper love. Highest solutions don't come from you. They come into you and through you. It is not your ability to figure things out, put the blame elsewhere, or hire the right lawyers that ultimately paves the way for divine right action. Rather, it is our surrender to the flow of divinity that allows divinity to flow through us. Staying calm and trusting in the flow of the universe are hard when we can't sense a cosmic order to things. Yet once we recognize that God is everywhere all the time, we can relax into any instant and know that healing is natural. God will exalt us if we will allow Him to. And when we feel that happening, we're likely to smile a certain kind of smile, inspiring someone around us to say, "What?" As though surely there must be something that is making us smile that way. But there is nothing that is making us smile at that moment, so much as everything is making us smile. We have sensed reality and felt the peace that follows. Strength in our defenselessness. It's astonishing to consider all the defenses we walk around with emotionally and psychologically. Imagine every moment from the time you were born, when something seemingly unsafe occurred, a spanking, a moment of misunderstanding or invalidation. In each instance, you built a defense mechanism, an automatic closing off of the heart, and by the time you were old enough to act out those defenses, you had no conscious awareness that they even existed. When we've reached out for love enough times and felt unloved in return, we shut down and try to defend ourselves against the blow we subconsciously have come to expect. Often, our form of defense is to attack before someone else has a chance to, or intimidate in order to keep our imagined attacker at bay, or try to impress so as not to be rejected. The problem with this, as A Course in Miracles teaches, is that we create what we defend against. If I have my dukes up, an opponent will surely appear. If I put on grandiose airs in order to impress, I will surely be rejected. It always feels like we're protecting ourselves when we're wrapped in the ego's energies. But in fact, the ego is our weakness and not our strength. When we act defensive or arrogant or willful, No one will think us strong. Quite the opposite. It can feel like we're exposed or vulnerable when we stand defenseless and empty before God. Yet when we do is when we appear centered and in our power. Our ability to be transparent, to become an empty space through which God's love can flow, is our spiritual strength. When the ego disappears, we are hardly more invisible. We're more illumined. People can't take their eyes off a person who has removed his or her mask. Childlike serenity replaces childish posturing. We are gentle yet strong. The light within shines through. As we shift our center of power from material strength to spiritual strength, we begin to change from a go-out-and-get-em kind of personality to a more magnetic, be-centered-and-watch-the-world-come-to-you kind of personality. The toughness, the intensity, and the assertiveness of the personality are second-rate powers compared to the spirit within. In any moment that we simply breathe deeply, giving up attachment to goal or outcome, living only to enjoy the instant and the love it brings, we are surrendered to God. And in losing ourselves, we find ourselves at last. When new life stirs. In museums across the world, there are thousands of paintings of an event described in the New Testament as the Annunciation. The angel Gabriel appeared to the maiden Mary, telling her that she would conceive a child by God, and the child would be born to be Savior to the world. Putting aside for a moment what that must have felt like, let's remember that all religious stories represent a deeper metaphysical truth. Angels are the thoughts of God. And Mary isn't the only one who has had angels come and talk to her. Angels are talking to all of us constantly, but most of us don't listen. Gabriel represents a particular kind of message from God, namely that he wants to impregnate us spiritually, miraculously turn us into new people, and extend his love onto the earth through us. The difference between us and Mary is that she had the humility and grace to say yes. Around all of us at every moment, there's an angel heralding a new beginning, the birth of a new being from the pieces of our scattered selves. Every situation represents a choice. Do we prefer to stay with ego-based patterns of thought and behavior, or do we choose to play life in a higher, more loving way? Will we tread the path of limitation and fear, though that path has grown painful and boring and old, or do we choose to give birth to a higher mode of expression? The Christ within us is a newborn self, fathered by God and mothered by our humanity, here to express the divine potential that exists inside us all. Mary could not have said no to God because it would have been contrary to her nature. And at our deepest core, it's contrary to ours as well. We long to say yes to Him, but we're so out of touch with who we really are, so not in conscious contact with our own souls, that we continually say no. And there, in that rejection of love, lies the tragedy of human existence. One day we say, "Yes, God, you can express your love through me." And on another day, in another situation, we can't make the stretch. We say no to more forgiveness or more depth or more love. Yet Gabriel persists, and every time we say no, he simply waits around to ask us again, "I'm bringing this situation around again to give you another chance." And slowly but surely, our hearts begin to open. We resist love less the longer we trod the spiritual path. And ultimately, we resist no longer. If we're deeply, truly honest with ourselves, we know we're longing to be pregnant with God. And that's when life truly begins to change. Not when we have new things, but when we have a new mind. The birth of God's love into the world is not just a was, but an is. It's important not just because of what it did to the world, but because of what it does to us. As we love each other, God lives in us. He overshadows our mind and heart. He guides our thinking, our behavior, and our words. He removes from us our thoughts of fear, miraculously replacing them with thoughts of love. In that lies our holiness. And according to A Course in Miracles, there is literally nothing our holiness cannot do. The Christ. The conversion to Christ need not entail a conversion to the Christian religion. The word is a symbol for the child of God within us all, our true identity and a space of remembrance of all that is divine. To be his disciple is to take on the mantle of his ministry by refusing to acknowledge the ultimate reality of any walls that divide us. In our oneness with others lies our oneness with God, and removing those walls is his work in us and in the world. God's one begotten Son is who we are. Try thinking of a situation in your life where things aren't going as you wish. Now close your eyes and take a deep breath, and allow yourself to see yourself as you dwell within that experience. See how you look, your mannerisms, and your normal behavior. See how others relate to you. Feel all your feelings as they arise, even if they're painful or anxious. Now see Jesus as the embodiment of Christ come up behind you and put his arms around you. He has been given by God the power to make you whole. Allow him to permeate your being and heal every broken part of you. Allow him to stand in the breach for you, between the you now manifest and your divine potential. He is that potential, and he has been given by God the power to help anyone who asks for his help to actualize it within themselves. According to A Course in Miracles, he is as clear in the holy instant as we allow him to be. Either he's metaphorically there, or he is literally there. Which it will be in your experience is completely up to you. The changes that spirit accomplishes within us cannot be explained to the ego mind, but looking to the ego for either approval or verification is ridiculous. According to A Course in Miracles, we think that without the ego, all would be chaos, but in truth, without the ego, all would be love. At some point, you pretty much decide which way of looking at the world makes most sense to you. You can't really kinda sorta embrace a mystical reality. The spiritual life involves believing in an invisible reality that affects a visible one. As we change within, we change our behavior, we change our energy, we change our lives. Creating miracles. Centered in an attitude of blessing, we become automatic miracle workers. People feel uplifted and energized along with us, subconsciously corrected and healed in our presence. A palpably more positive atmosphere prevails. When we reach for the highest within ourselves, people around us feel called to their highest. And that is the beacon for which every soul is looking. As we remember our spiritual heritage and stand within its power, we think, act, and then experience all of life differently. We're about to judge someone, and then we remember their innocence. We're about to share an unkind story we heard about someone, and then we remember, what I do to others, I am doing to myself. We're about to reach for a win at another person's expense, and we remember that there is no such thing. We're complaining about a situation, and we stop to ask ourselves, what am I not contributing here? This is the birth of our better selves, a gradual and continuous process, as in any given moment, we either listen to the ego or we listen to love. Whichever we listen to is what we will become. And whatever we become is the world we will inhabit. We can live in fear or we can live in love. And every moment we decide. According to A Course in Miracles, the greatest power God has given us to change the world is the power to change our thoughts about the world, and as we do, the world transforms. No matter how insane the world might appear, we can seek to remember its vast illusion. We don't become more metaphysically complicated as we do this. In fact, we become simpler and simpler, trying to apply certain basic principles to everything we go through. We know there is a world of love that lies beyond what we see, and we were born to make it manifest. If we apply ourselves body and soul to the task, then one day, right here on Earth, we will experience an illumined world.